All right, as we return, Avalon's Finest, having finished their long incoming duel against the many, having defeated the Smoke Giant, saved High Watch, returned, saw their friend Ruka raised back to life, and after making some brief preparations, prepared for the greatest show yet. One that would be held right under the nose of the Archbishop, and without his knowledge. A little bit of help from Ari made sure that, so far at least, the Archbishop did not seem to be aware, or Petrov for that matter, as he seemed maybe just a little bit too set in his ways. But, from the looks you've been receiving most of the afternoon from various members of the Abbey's fellowship, it appears that word is getting out that a very special meditative training regimen is going to be held that night, and they all intend to be present for this exclusive event. The time draws near, and as Avalon's Finest gather themselves one last time, with only a few minutes before entering into the great dining hall where various members of the Brothers and Sisters of High Watch, as well as agents of the Shadow of Light, are waiting for you even now. You're gathered together. What do you say?
Turns to the rest of the group and says, "All right, are we all ready? Does everyone know what they're going to do?"
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Ruka?
I don't think I'll be able to perform tonight, but I'll definitely be cheering you all on.
That is true. Continue to gather your strength and enjoy the show for once. Lia?
I'm ready. She has two horses with her.
Side note. Min, what would we need to do to, set the stage? Do we need to tell you, what we need? How does that work?
Min thinks for a moment and then says, "How about this?" And she will actually cast Telepathic Bond on the three of them. Let me know what you need, and I'll do what I can to make sure that the background stage crew accommodates.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Is it okay if I give a few opening words to introduce a few people?
I mean, considering that it's your, it's your mindscape, I think that's appropriate.
And chuckles a bit, and then says,
"I should also pray or something, Randy, because it's supposed to be somehow related to this, right?"
Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Right. Prayer. Not sure many prayers of Lumineth, but actually, do you know?
I imagine out of character that Randy has some of the memorized prayers in his mind from growing up there.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but you think you can probably put something together?
Yeah. I've got that part.
Maybe a memorial prayer, something about hope or something.
Yeah, prayer of blessing, prayer of just the time of fellowship and everything like that. Yeah, it should be pretty straightforward.
All right, well, let's not keep our audience waiting.
And
go ahead. Okay. I was going to say, Min will walk into the room with, I'm assuming, where many of the other mine's going audience. It happens to be sitting, and Min will whisper over to, or at least telepathically informed Randy, and say, "The first stage will be just outside the main doors. Things are set up to look rather similar when they first enter. It will be an overt mindscape, so they know that they will be in it. But I wanted to put a bit of presentation on it."
"Oh yeah, definitely." And Randy says this in his mind. "I was kind of wondering how you were going to enter everyone into the mindscape."
"Mindscape door is quite handy. It will be put in the center of the room. Oh, and the way to escape the mindscape is to simply say Rutabaga."
"Rutabaga. Okay, got it."
Try to let a few of the other people know before we get into the mindscape. For the moment you say it, it'll pop you out."
"Oh, I see what you're saying."
"Just in case the abbot comes and is wondering how many people are sleeping."
Randy will be sure to go to inform Ari of the word to exit the mindscape.
Just making it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
"But the mindscape door will still be in the center room if anyone wants to re-enter. Same word to exit, though."
"All right, let's get the show on the road."
"All right."
"All right, and Cabal is with you guys. She doesn't really have much to add to all of this, and she doesn't know what your shows are like, but she's just kind of quietly nearby. And Solas is still not to be seen."
"Have we seen Solas since we went into the cage the last time?"
Philia, you've been out to the stable a few times, right?"
"Yeah, quite a bit, actually."
"So you have seen Solas out there, and she's spoken with you. But she seems to be willing to be on her own quite a bit. It doesn't really seem to bother her. So, but she is around. She's just, you guys haven't run across her as a group. Certainly not inside."
"Oh, she came back to the Abbey with us, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if we'd seen her since after the battle, but..." "Well, maybe not anybody else except Philia." "No, we saw her, because I remember her coming in."
"Was Steele asking in character or no?"
"No, Rick has already come to take your seat since y'all are doing final preparations."
"Gotcha."
"All right, and Min will take her seat. We'll close her eyes, lean back, and cast Create Mindscape. And then immediately afterwards cast Mindscape Door in the center of the room."
"Out of character, how are we gonna get everybody in?"
They can just, if you would like to begin the prayer, they can just walk in the door and they will enter the mindscape immediately.
"So essentially the way that it would work is everybody is sitting down, the door opens and they can see the door. And if they will themselves, yes, I would want to get up and get into it, then they quote-unquote get up and go in, but it is their consciousness that's getting up. And it's almost like that out-of-body sort of, they would look back and see their sleeping form."
"Okay, that's actually that was my next question. I was like, is this just going to be a pile of bodies in front of the stage? Like, okay, that actually makes more sense."
Right, and if you would lead in prayer and then leap the door.
All right, so Randy will get up in, on the stage. he would get up to the stage and he'd be like, welcome to a special showing of Avalon's Finest Virtuosi. We're so glad to be here in Highwatch Abbey. Just a quick note, as you can see, there is a mindscape door in the center of the room. You do not have to physically go into that door. You just will yourself into the door and you will enter the mindscape. It is all a part of the show. Real quick before we get started though, I'd like to open in a word of prayer. And Randy will recite one of the prayers of thanks and of blessing from his memory in the orphanage. If you want me to go ahead and actually do it, I will, but
do you mind?
I do not mind. Randy will pray. He'll say, Dear Lueneth, we thank you for this time together to celebrate and to enjoy some entertainment. And we thank you for your protection over this abbey and over its residents. Just bless tonight's showing as and just bless the participants as well. Please help everyone to have an enjoyable night of rest and relaxation. In the name of the light. Amen. And Randy be like, okay. So the next part, we're going before. One more quick note before we enter the mindscape. The word to exit the mindscape in case of an emergency is rutabaga. Just keep that in mind. In case anything comes up in the outside world, once again, rutabaga. Also, the door to the mindscape will be available, I believe, for exit as well. So yeah, if you all could just will yourselves into the door to the mindscape, we'll go ahead and get started. And Randy will, Randy will sit cross-legged on the floor and will himself into the mindscape.
virtuosi. And as she says these last few words, you watch as her hands come together, and the magic circles seem to collapse in on themselves as the blue sky immediately shifts into a fiery orange, white, and yellow, with sparks and sparkles flying up above and overhead. As a sunset horizon stretches off as far as the eye can see, and seats seem to spring out of a very thin, shallow pool of endless ocean water. This is what the main initial stage looks like. Min actually looks like her old original Bashani self. We discussed would go first.
Billia, would you mind going first?
Sure. Philia begins her mounted archery demonstration.
Did you want a different background?
A snowscape with trees.
Right. And Min will accommodate, as it's almost as if the world itself seems to meld and shift, as trees seem to spring out of the ocean, and the air, although still warm, seems to get just the faintest bit of chill to it. And if you remember the scene with Barkus's home, that is what you see. Something similar. Few hills, but much, lots of snow.
Alright, she'll begin by mounting her horse, Alex. She has another horse with her. And she takes his bridle off and starts riding him around in a circular pattern, and she requests for Min to pull up some targets for her to shoot.
Min will ask, live or stationary?
Start with stationary.
All right. And you'll see some targets pop up out of the snow, and they're almost like ice sculptures of various dragons.
Perfect. All right, she will shoot those as she rides. The other horse is following behind. And they also go through a stream, shoot some more targets. And Philia will ask Min to have some things come out of the water for her to shoot.
All right. The very first is the river drake. Small, but still formidable. Not incredibly sentient. Think of a video game NPC where it rears up, roars, and then essentially enters a loop.
Philia shoots that one down. She then has the other horse riding alongside. She grabs its rein and is able to have one stand up on her horse while holding on to the other horse. They ride through an open field that way. She puts one foot on each horse, and she'll ride that way for a while, ride back in a circle, back towards the crowd. then she will stop the horses, give a bow, and then another horse just appears in front of them, and all three horses give a bow.
And then off in the distance claps.
Yeah, Randy does too. That's awesome.
Then she leads her horses off to get ready for the next act.
Okay. Min would actually like to go last.
I kind of figured that'd be appropriate.
Well, before she goes off to the finale, she will also mount her horse. And they will also all jump through several jumps. And the last one will have a little bit of fire underneath it. And they'll all jump over it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Going out with a blaze. Love it. I guess Randy, you'll go next. GM, are we going to have Barkus do anything?
We won't necessarily highlight it, but Barkus would have an act.
Okay.
Yeah. Probably have him fight a small white dragon.
Definitely. Oh, just hand to hand against a dragon.
Yep.
He'll ride it like a bronco.
Yes. Randy will go next. Randy will request from Min a glowing strand of rope stretched in midair about 40 feet above where he is in the middle of the stage.
And Min will accommodate it. Any background to go with it?
Let me think. No, just stark blackness accompanied by a spotlight following Randy.
All right.
So all you see is Randy, the spotlight, and the glowing, I'll say, orange rope. Just like taut, like an acrobat. Yeah, like a tightrope. Randy will begin his act in the middle of the stage, hood up covering his face, and he will fall up to the middle of the rope. He will then, at that point, begin to walk the rope. And then he will also request from Min 3 glowing orbs.
She'll give you them about the size of basketballs.
About the size of basketballs, okay. He will request them a little smaller, about the size of baseballs.
Baseballs, then. Watch as they shrink.
Yeah. They appear in his hand, it's like, okay, all right, we're good. He will begin juggling them as he is walking along upside down. He is up. He's not balanced. He's balancing upside down on the tightrope, defying gravity, and juggling, also defying gravity as well. He will also begin to. He will request, after about maybe a solid 5 minutes of juggling the ropes and doing tricks and jumping up slash down, he will request that the orbs disappear, and that, let's see, that as he jumps up slash down into the air, a unicycle appears under under slash over him.
All right, and as you actually drop, or as you drop the glowing orbs down, or as the audience sees up into the sky, you watch as they shatter into a brilliant night sky.
Yes. And Randy will take the highest jump he can, awaiting the unicycle to appear under him. slash over him.
All right, and it does so, and this is what the night sky looks like.
Ah, yes.
Oh, man. Awesome. As the unicycle appears under slash over him, Randy will deftly land on the unicycle and begin to ride upside down on the tightrope, several laps along the tightrope, switching off, going on one leg, just defying physics, gravity, and pretty much any natural law he can as he goes along. And at the end of his performance, he will request an invisible mattress be made manifest at the bottom of the tightrope.
Sure.
And he will then adjust his gravity to where it is back to normal. He will fall, and when he's about maybe 5 feet from falling, he will put on his ring of invisibility and disappear.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
And that is Randy's show.
All right. And unfortunately, Ruka would not be able to sing at the moment, so is there anyone other than Min?
I think that as far as who is present right now, that would be it. So essentially, after Randy's performance, Barkus comes forward, and after a brief expose of fighting techniques and axe throwing, after throwing the axes into several different targets, the targets almost seeming to rise up and appear out of nothing, turning and hitting them, almost like a SWAT team member going through a CQB course, only just throwing axes that are just continually refilling on his belt as he's hurling axe after axe. When he comes out at the end of it before everybody and throws the axes, the target turns into that great white dragon that had just battled all of you out on the field. To which then after the axes sink into its chest and it bellows its roar, breaking the axes as it clenches its muscles underneath its scales, he rushes forward and grabs hold of the dragon, wrestling it until he throws it to the ground and jumps on its back, riding it into submission before sliding down its neck and snapping its neck with a crunch. And then he bows. And with that, Barkus then steps to the side, arms out, enjoying the praise, but turning it over to Min to bring the show home.
All right. And once again, Min will appear back on the stage. And she'll say, "To this point, you have seen skills of mastery with the bow. Skills with balance. And also feats of magic, of strength, of axe throwing. And although I could bring you one more feat of magic, I believe I will leave you with something else. Something that I had decided, though, that although simple, is always enjoyable. And in the time that everyone else was actually doing their shows, Min was actually crafting fireworks. And she will have her essentially mindless NPCs all lean forward at the same time and light the fuses. And you watch as the sky is absolutely illuminated with brilliant colors that dance and twist and bend in ways that are, some of them, entirely natural. Others, not so natural. where a fire will burst into the sky, green, then pull back into itself, twist, and then burst back out yellow. Some, the light itself will seem to absorb the colors around it, almost as if it's a firework of darkness. And other ones seem to burn with a brilliance that is beyond what is normally possible. As Min combines both the shadow and the light for the fireworks that roar across the sky.
Very nice.
And these are the fireworks. As the sky begins to turn blue and orange, and the ocean seems to return, you watch as one final firework goes up and seems to pop twice as the wings of a fire drake spreads outward, and you watch as it leaves a trail of brilliant orange color as it blazes across the sky like a phoenix.
Yes.
She says, and with that, I will bring our presentation to a close. I would like to thank all the people who have gotten us to this point. One of our original patrons, Saints, or Barrett Saint, and his shop, Saint's Own. It is more than just a drink. He has saved our lives more than once on our journeys. I would also like to thank another one of our, not exactly patrons, but the shop rings and things. Once again, they have provided us with many items that have brought us to where we are now. You might have already noticed that, yes, during Marcus's performance, he has a little bit of a advertisement on his guns.
Celia is like mentally facepalming, like, you don't have to advertise her shop. We don't have a contract for that.
But Barkus does. So Min is just going to bring it up just to help Barkus out, and she will say, and we would also like to thank High Watch Abbey. Who protected, or as you choose, have ensured that things remain quiet when all could collapse. You are one of the final defenses against the darkness, even though you stay in it yourself. Thank you. We are all in your debt.
Say something like, may the light shine or something, you know, Gwen?
And we'll stand back up and say, and hearing Philia in her mind will say, may the light shine upon you, and may the darkness always stay at your back.
Sounds good.
And with that, there are cheers, appreciation, they seem to have enjoyed the show thoroughly. There was cheering all throughout, especially at the very heroic actions. And as you close the time out, there's a standing applause and cheering and shouting and hurrahs. And this goes on for a little while before people start to blink out as they speak the word and exit the mindscape, realizing that the show is over, but very happy for this little bit of relaxation and enjoyment so far away from home.
And one of the natures of the mindscape was, it's actually warm. Being up in High Watch Abbey, Min assumes that this is not always the case in a large stone building. So she wanted to make sure that it was nice and pleasant for her guests.
Not too warm for my act. It was in the snow.
Turn the AC down for you, but some of the others kept it a little warmer.
Total controlled environment. Love it.
And with that, Min will close the mindscape, returning everyone to their chairs.
All right. And as you all come back to yourselves, you realize a couple of things. One, about half of the people have already gotten up and left. They apparently had left before you did and got up and very quickly went on their ways. You can still see some of those that are making their way out. They seem to be talking in small groups, and a couple of them, you know, waving their hands excitedly as they're recreating or talking about something that they saw. But there's all these kind of furtive looks around before they would continue, hoping that nobody gets the idea that something was going on. But the other thing that you notice is standing right in front of all of you is Solas. And she's looking at you. She's waiting for you. She says, "I am glad that you are waking up. Are you all right?"
And Chuckles says, "We all needed a bit of rest. I apologize that you are not informed of the group nap. If I had known, I would have made sure that you were welcomed."
"Oh, Ari did tell me about it. In fact, I came to watch over you."
"Oh, thank you. That means a lot."
"I tried to join you while you were dreaming, but it was not sleep, so I could not."
"And we will have to be sure to make sure you can join the next time."
Does Ruka ask that question?
"Yeah, sure. She'll speak up. Did anybody come through to check, or was it quiet out here?"
"There was a dwarf who came. He wondered why everyone was asleep, but I told him they were meditating, and it was very important, religiously, for their relationship with their god. I don't think that he believed me, but I told him it was very religious, so he went away."
"We appreciate your help, Solas."
"Indeed."
And she just nods her head, kind of bucks it a couple of times in recognition of that. It says, "I will return then. I will return to the stables. But perhaps we will speak again."
"Almost definitely."
"Yeah, you're the reason we're here, Solas. I never really got to thank you for what you for your help. Like, sincerely, I appreciate it. You really helped out back when we were in a what is the name of I always it's not is it Tilithsirl? Tilithsirl is where Randy's from, right?"
"Correct. Nethysgirl. Nethysgirl.
Okay. When we were back in Nethysgirl, I through the dreams, I really appreciate you keeping in contact."
"That is good. I am glad that you are okay with me keeping in contact. There have been some who said it was rude. I'm glad that you like it.
Having a unicorn pop up in my dreams has got to be like top tier, like, you know, top 10 dreams of all time for sure."
To which she laughs. And it is a light, happy laugh. But she will bid good night to each of you, and then she's going to make her way back out.
"Good night, Solas. I'm having an extra friend to keep the stable warm."
"That is a wonderful thing. I look forward to meeting them." Is he as interesting as Alex?
She. It's, her name's Pippa.
I look forward to meeting her. Are they siblings?
Well, these two are, not Alex.
And she will nod, and head out to the stables to go meet the new pony.
Well, she's bringing them with her.
Oh, well, then she will wait and she will walk with you. But she actually, as soon as she sees the ponies, she will begin to speak with animals, and she's just going to start conversating with the ponies on the way out. So nothing too interesting, but it would be very interesting to a pony, I'm sure. All right, that leaves the rest of you. And Cabal also will look like she's about to dismiss herself. And I think I'm going to go also. That was a really great show.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Cabal. Though, I am curious. I know there are a few things that I would like to do. I was wondering, would you be able and willing to travel with me for a little while?
To travel with you?
Yes.
You want me to travel with you?
Most definitely.
And she takes just a real brief glance over towards the direction of Ruka, but doesn't actually quite look at Ruka, before seeming to almost solidify and come to a decision. She says, okay, I'll go with you.
And you watch as Min beams. She would like to have a moderately quick conversation with Cabal, but I know that Ruka also wanted to have a conversation with Min, so she will hold off on that. Was there anything else that anyone else wanted to do?
Randy will just go up to Ari, and he looks up at him and he's like, so what'd you think of the show?
Hey, man. Now that was a show right there. I mean, wow, that was amazing. And the effects and that sunrise, or the sunset with the fireworks going on. I mean, that was incredible. That was... That was amazing. It was amazing.
It was really cool. I always enjoy when Min puts her own personal flair on things. It's a really good time. Like, I've been in the Mindscape a couple times now. And it's always a fun time.
Oh, I mean, man. I mean, if I traveled with you guys, I think I'd spend all my time in there, you know? It'd be like, who needs a real world when you got that one, right? I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, it was awesome. Speaking of traveling, did you get it cleared to head down south?
Yeah, so still technically waiting to hear back on that, but it should be all right. I mean, there's nothing really pressing going on here, especially since, you know, this smoke giant's dead now, and apparently the demon that he was carrying in his soul is dead too. So, I mean, it would seem like I should be able to go. I haven't exactly taken any vacation time recently. But I still gotta wait for it to be approved completely.
Yeah, you gotta use up that PTO.
Exactly. I'll let you know as soon as I know. I should know by tomorrow, so I'll let you know for sure.
All right, just let me know. And I think, I don't know if we're gonna use the teleporter for... I'm pretty sure Min said she would be able to take us there, but I'm not. I'd have to run that by her as well.
Yeah, well, you guys talk. I gotta go check in. and get some stuff done. But I'll let you know for sure by tomorrow, probably around breakfast, I can let you know. And I mean, I'm gonna go. You know I'm gonna go.
Yeah, well, yeah, I you know, but it's a question of whether or not it's sanctioned. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, your best friend is, you know, is dating a girl and it's serious. You gotta go, you know, but...
Yeah, take care of what you need to take care of, Ari. I appreciate it.
All right. You guys have a great night. And he turns and he's going to make his way back towards the kitchens, back towards the passageway that leads to the Shadow of Light. All right, that leaves pretty much, it should just leave you guys. And Barkus is there.
Celia is back by this point.
Barkus just speaks up just kind of briefly and mentions, well, I'll be looking forward to visiting Drake Hall now. I mean, there shouldn't be much that's standing in our way.
I mean,
there is a giant with a hammer just roaming around somewhere.
Indeed. Perhaps it would be good to at least keep a loose eye on him. But we do need some rest.
I was, I didn't know, I think I told you guys, I was planning on doing some traveling in the next few weeks. I don't know what you guys have planned.
Indeed. Also some traveling and some preparations.
I don't have any plans. I don't know when you guys have time to plan stuff.
Well, since you mentioned the, giant with the hammer, I was wondering, like, I don't know, maybe you and Barkus could possibly maybe scout out where they are?
We could do that. I'm not sure we could do anything once we find them. Only two of us. I mean, depending on how many of them are there, which I think there's more than two.
Oh yeah, no, don't do anything. Just kind of keep an eye on where they're going and stuff like that.
Indeed. If you can keep a report going to me, I can ensure the Shadow of the Light stays informed. If something very bad goes on, well, they can let us know immediately.
No, I don't even speak giant, so I'm able to understand if they say anything.
I don't know if Barkus speaks giant or not.
I cannot speak to that, so... Barkus is a little bit lost in his gear right now and looking over his rifle and making some judgment calls and scrutinizing it. Seems maybe looking for ways to improve it and make things better, but he's not particularly engaged too much in the conversation.
So, Min, how long were you thinking we should, like, maybe rest? I guess Ruka, too. Like, how long were you thinking you needed?
It's been a while since we've had any time off. I think we all need to take some time, me especially. Not just a couple weeks. Maybe 6 or 8 weeks.
I mean, I'd be down for an extended vacation myself, so yeah.
I mean, nonsenses.
So, vacation from everything? Not just chasing stuff and trying not to die?
I've got... I need to spend some time apart to pull myself back together. There's some places I need to go.
And nonsenses. Mental health is incredibly important.
Yeah, I
I've got a relationship that needs a little bit of mending, so I need to go ahead and take care of that.
Especially now that our life is safe.
Exactly.
I think 8 weeks could be good. Do you all want to meet up in your place, Uruga?
Well, I'm heading east from here. If what I've heard of the area and seen on the maps is correct, there are hot springs nearby. The springs of Nerian, I believe.
Ooh, hot springs. That'd be nice.
That could be relaxing. You have to be a bit careful, but sure. That works for me.
So meet up at the hot springs in about 2 months?
Sounds like a plan. And we could work on finding a way of communicating during the time, just in case something else comes up.
It says an animal with a message.
That could be one way. But I had been thinking, perhaps there is a few other ways we could also keep in communication. I know that in the past we have used scrying. I know that you can cast a message through scrying, though it doesn't always work. It might require a few tries in order to get it set up. But as long as I have a little bit of each of you, perhaps a small scrap of clothing, a piece of hair, I should be able to contact you each without a problem. Do I really need to purchase a scroll of scrying?
Randy pulls a lock from his hair. He kind of pulls his ponytail out, and he pulls a lock, and he like takes out his hidden blade and just like hands it to Min. Here you go. I trust you as always.
Thank you.
How are you going to use a scroll repeatedly?
If I can get a few of my items finished, and I hope to get that done, it will allow me to use a scroll, or at very least once a day, without actually using the scroll, just the magic from it.
But if more communication was needed, you'd have to actually use the scroll then.
Not with this particular item. It instead uses my magical energies instead. Just repatterns it.
But only once a day.
Only once a day.
If you needed to pass a message to someone else,
then that would be more difficult.
Well, what about the telepathic bond?
It has to be set up when you're close. Although it can extend out for a while, it only lasts about, at this point, 2 hours.
So are you guys going to be doing dangerous stuff, or is it just going to be me and Marcus?
Well, with any, I mean, we don't want you getting in any kind of danger. You're just going to be, like, kind of doing recon, or what, like, whatever else you want to do. I mean, it's kind of up to you. But, I mean, I figured since you mentioned the Giants, maybe the two trackers would be able to like just kind of keep a watch on them from a distance. I mean, Marcus has that, you know, long rifle.
Yeah, that he just learned how to use.
I trust the big guy.
Felia is not sure that he's quite up to par with it yet.
Personally, I don't think we want you to do anything about the Giants necessarily. Just kind of just keep an eye on them for a while.
Well, the message doesn't have to get there right away. I mean, if the message doesn't have to get there so fast, I can. What about through the Abbey? Is there a way to, if I got a message to here, could they get it to you?
Sure, we just. The only problem is that everyone takes a breath. They could probably use sending, but I do not know how much it would cost for us to get the Abbey to do that.
Well, I can send an animal, but it'll take however long the animal takes to get there.
True. And if you get in trouble, that might be the best idea. But just a few regular check-ins might also be a good idea. Is that all right with you?
I think it would probably be better to buy 2 swirls at least, just in case.
And nonsense, that can be done.
I'd be willing to put up my share toward 2.
Min also agrees for the same. Though I would need a focus, a mirror, worth a bit of money. 1,000 gold pieces, but I would only need 1.
So how much would you need from me?
Yes, and I believe that is correct. 2,600 gold pieces split among the 6 of us.
If Cabal was going to be part of it. Would be 433.
And if Cabal was hesitant about that, Min would promise to repay Cabal with more knowledge, information, and additional details later.
As Min is talking, Randy's counting out gold pieces. He gets a small. He takes the gold pieces that he needs, and he hands them to Min. He says, "All right,
he's Min my would share." Also, thank you. And Min would also put in her share. And we can put it up on Hangouts if Barkus chooses to part in his share or not.
Rugo would dig out her share as well, but then look to Min. Got some other things like this I need to talk with you about later.
Alright. Which is fair. And as Min collects the dues, she will ask, is there anything else that we needed to discuss before we break off?
Oh, Min. Are you going to be able to teleport me and Ari to Trunau tomorrow?
Sure.
All right, great. That's all I need to talk about.
Nice and simple, I like it.
Yep, you know me, straight to the point. I'm heading to bed. See y'all.
Sleep well. Bye-bye. All right. Philia, was there anything you wished to discuss?
I guess not.
Right. In that case, I know Ruka wished to talk about something. Is it okay if we talk for a little while?
Okay, I guess I should go to bed.
Sleep well and dream well. May it be filled with unicorns.
Right. I need some more, man.
And so, Uruka, is everything all right?
Okay. Can we go back to the quarters and you put up... She waves her hand up in the air, indicating a rope like Min's rope trick.
Sure, that won't be a problem.
Just to not disturb anyone else since it's getting late.
That is fair. And Min will go up, set up her rope trick, and will say, do you also wish to set up a mindscape to have it ensure privacy?
That's nothing that bad.
All right.
So, You seem to have a much better grasp of applied magic than I do. I've read a lot, seen some. It's a lot more limited what I can actually do. There's some of that I want to try to fix.
All right.
I've seen references to some magic that can restructure a person. What they know, how they react, almost alter some of the decisions they've made throughout the past. Have you heard about this?
I have. When I heard it last, it was a form of stamping of the soul. It's unusual that a few people to the east would create a stamp, place it on the skin, and it would sink into the skin a bit. And it would change a person's past, the way that they view the world. And if done well, could be done permanently. That, yes? Something of that sort.
Erkin nods. Is this something you'd have access to?
I don't quite have the magical strength to accomplish it yet, though. If we could find something of that sort, perhaps a scroll, I could be able to access it temporarily through the magic imbued into the paper.
Erkin nods again. Do you know how much one of those scrolls might cost?
Good bit. The magical focus of the diamonds alone will cost 100, possibly 150. Closer to 1,500 gold. The magic itself is strong and can only be focused through the crystalline lattices of a diamond of that strength or purity. The spell itself could be possibly another 1,000.
Okay. Out of character, isn't that significantly lower than what it's going to be?
No. 1,500, so 1,500 gold pieces for the diamonds, and then I believe
3,500 for the scroll, I think.
If it's 2,275, so not more than what Minna had initially estimated, but not quite 3,500. 3,500 is closer to a ninth.
Okay, so rough math, about 3,750 total then?
3,775, but yeah.
Okay.
It would be quite an expenditure. Are you sure this is something that you wish to do?
She looks up, doesn't answer for a second, and then nods again.
All right.
I've got to be a lot more serious about this if I'm going to continue on.
I understand. Dragons are dangerous. Their lives are precious. I have a few thoughts to protect myself, and I might be able to include you, and if I will be traveling with her, possibly Cabal as well. I and Mintzvack. I have been thinking about Cabal a lot recently. She has lost her people. She probably feels alone. And yet she carries a strength with her that I don't believe she understands.
Ruka looks like she draws inward a little bit, becoming a bit smaller as this is a topic she really doesn't want to think about right now.
And I'm going to assume Min picks up on this and says, "Do not worry. I only wish for her to come into herself. I can see a way that she could go, but only if she chooses to take it. I'd like to spend some time talking with her. Perhaps traveling with her. Hopefully traveling with her. I want her to see the world not as a dangerous place, but as a place to be enjoyed, loved, perhaps even protected."
That could be quite a task. But I think it would be good for her.
I mean, shrugs and says, "Well, you know the saying, shoot for the moon, and even if you miss, you'll land somewhere among the stars." Cabal has seen a lot of darkness in her life, a lot of evil. She spent a lot of time running. I think with a bit of time, she could learn to be a force who can choose her own destiny. And that is what I wish.
She can one day, she can stand on her own.
I can only hope that we can ensure that she survives to get to that point. I want to make ensure that she gets stronger. She might not realize it, but the amount of gold that we have already shared with her is enough to commission a castle of her own in the desert. It is no small chunk of change. She's probably richer and has more capital than the rest of her entire warband had put together. If she knows how to...
She may have more than the rest of us put together right now.
Quite possibly. If she puts that... And takes another breath. If she learns to properly invest in herself. And Min leans back and says, I will be honest. What I hope and what I would like to see Cabal do. Takes one more breath and says, the rest of the world always fear is about what they consider the savage races taking over, coming and sweeping like a plague. But what if that's not something that they needed to fear, simply because they were different? Ruka, you were the one who taught me that all lives have value, no matter who it is. You were the one who said that we needed to stop and talk with the orcs, not slaughter them wholesale. What if Cabal was the one to lead them? Someone who has seen both sides of the lives. Someone who has seen the destruction that being driven by those only who are strongest physically. She's seen her people be destroyed twice. What if she could be the one to unite the world?
You weren't kidding about shoot for the moon.
And smiles once again and says, I think she can do it. But she needs to survive long enough.
It is quite a lofty goal. But what does it take to actually get there? And Ruka looks away as she says that.
understanding, realizing that there are people who care, and people to care for. There are many stories of being the last of one's race. There's a reason why people like that are... tend to accomplish much more. I wish for the Bent Nail tribe to no longer be a byword for a minor tribe, but to be a rallying cry for the savage races to no longer be as, well, to be welcomed. Perhaps they could teach the so-called civilized races a thing or two. We never know till we truly get together.
Gotta get some of them to the table first. It won't take just talking to get the races that have been called the savage races to come.
And Hansen says, I understand. But if we could get them to at the very least listen, at least begin to listen, this could change the face of the world. And perhaps then, people like me, and Cabal, and Brina, will no longer be seen as bywords, people to be feared and shunned, but can actually be people who are respected, who stand on their feet, and are known as legitimate.
Riga remains silent, doesn't respond.
He's
looking off into the distance, like, not trying to be outright rude, but she's not. You can tell she's not really able to focus on really having the conversation.
I mean, once again, picks up on this and says, although these tusks that I carry have not been with me long, I've seen the way that people look at me. Or choose not to look at me. One day that can change. But for now, I'd like to see if I can present the same thoughts to Kapoor. And then, spend some time traveling. Perhaps help her see more of the world than she has ever seen before. And see it from a different perspective as well.
Riga silently nods again.
But I can see that you are tired. And the night grows long. And I still need to talk with Cabal about these things. To see what her thoughts are.
A couple other things. I'm going to be just headed straight out of here once everyone begins to go their separate ways. Would you be able to meet up with me sometime, maybe a week from now, with these scrolls?
I think I should be able to. It might take a little bit of time, but I think I should be able to accomplish that. I'll have to look for them.
Oh, yes. Second scroll. Would you be able to activate a scroll of restoration?
That would be difficult, but not impossible. It might take a few tries over the course of a few days. And I would need to have both the scroll and the diamonds separately. It is
separately?
If we wish to keep the scroll.
Yeah. Oh, true. She pulls out the diamond, one of the two diamonds Ben had purchased for her the previous day.
Well, we keep that one. Hold on to it. You'll need it. And then the scroll, I will need to make sure is purchased.
And Rickon will count out, avoiding the numbers, gonna be roughly around 4,500 gold for the purchases. She'll give the exact cost.
Alright, and we can work out the final cost off screen.
And once I head out, I'm not going to want to come back into civilization for a few weeks.
Understood. Solitude, meditation, nature. It can be what the body needs to heal. And the others, good.
More the mind than the body, but both are needed.
Indeed. Rest well. And come back. But please, be sure to come back.
She nods. I have not done what I need to do yet. I will be back.
Good. That's what I like to hear. But if you do not mind, I have some people I need to talk to, and some things I need to discuss.
And Min will leave the rope trick and make her way over to Cabal's room. And Quicksilver, let me know if you'd like to RP Min discussing this with Cabal as well.
Sure. As you come into the room where all of the ladies of the group have been staying, you see Philia may or may not be back there yet, but Cabal is there. She's just kind of sitting over on her bed. She hasn't gone to sleep. She's just kind of sitting up. Looks like she's a little lost in thought, but she notices as you come in and acknowledges your presence.
Do you have a bit of time to talk, Cabal?
Sure. Yes. Well, what did you want to talk about?
And takes a breath and says, I know you agreed to travel with me, but I wanted to know, what do you want, Cabal? What does your heart desire?
And she doesn't have an answer right away. She thinks about that. A couple of times it looks like she's about to respond, but then she doesn't say anything. Finally, after a bit of quiet, I don't know. I guess I thought I knew, but that doesn't seem to be happening. I always thought that it was simple, it was obvious. Just become strong, serve the purpose of the tribe. work to bring about the good of the whole. Beast. If you're strong, then the tribe is strong. But things are so much more complicated here. I don't know.
This is the truth. The world is complicated. But... And Vin looks over Cabal. I will let you know right now. You are strong. Although you do not feel it, where you travel with people who might seem to minimize your strength. Remember, there are multiple people who have sought you out to have a strength that was their own, to take it, to use it, to further their own goals. What if I said that you are not wrong? Strength of the tribe is not necessarily a bad thing. But what if I said that your tribe could be far bigger than you had initially imagined?
I don't understand. The bent nail was destroyed. They're gone.
The bent nail lives on in you now. And you can bring it to new heights. As long as you survive. As the last member, you can always add others. A family is not always the people who are born to you in blood. A family can be the people that you choose to love, choose to work with, choose to protect. And I believe that you could be the greatest leader of the Bent Nail yet.
She looks at you with a look that's almost a little incredulous, as she has a hard time seeing it.
You have traveled further than any other member of the Bent Nail. You've seen more than any other member of the Bent Nail. You have suffered. You have survived. And yes, you have lost, but you have also conquered. You have seen the way that both sides of the war are fought. You have seen the people, lived with them, talked with them. You understand not just the way they think, but their motivations, who they choose to protect. I believe in time you could lead not just another orc band, but perhaps only races who rely on strength. The people of the cities and towns, they may call you the uncivilized races, the savage races. I believe that you could show them that there is much more to war kind, to goblin kind, to kobold kind, to gnoll kind, than they could even imagine. I believe you could bring peace.
doesn't look like she believes it. Go ahead and make a diplomacy roll. See if you can inspire her.
Man is also going to use, she's going to burn zinc or use Burst of Insight to increase her charisma score. That would be a total of 20.
All right, and so do you choose to get out some zinc and burn it real quick?
The burning of zinc is flavorful. It is just it's an immediate spell that is mentally only for men. Yes, all that. Right.
Okay. Then, because Cabal is smart enough to recognize if she sees somebody pulling out a spell component. So, but a 20 is pretty good. It's pretty good. Well, I don't know if I can see that.
Give yourself time. Take some time to live and see how the other half lives. See what they expect. See what makes them afraid. See what they choose to do when they believe that they are among their own. Things may change. Opportunities may open. And most importantly, peace could be forged. I was hoping to bring this out when a more opportune time came, but there is something that I believe is yours. Yours by right. And can be used as a symbol of your rule and your leadership. If you choose to accept it. And Min will reach into her bag of holding and pull out Karagux plus one electrified greatsword.
And her eyes go wide as she immediately recognizes her father's sword and takes it heavily in her hands. I didn't know. Yeah, how long have you... And she just looks up with questions in her eyes. She's obviously very moved by having it.
He was a great leader. He sought peace. Those driven to war through the actions of others. No one is driving you to war. This is your father's legacy. It is up to you what you choose to do with it.
And she holds it. Her hand finally kind of tightens around the grip of the hilt. Thank you. Thank you for this.
And smiles and says, I'm sure soon enough I will be the one thanking you. Rest. For tomorrow, we travel and see the ways that the world around us thinks, acts, and behaves.
And she nods and sits there for a while with the sword. You notice that she pulls out her father's mask as well as the holy symbol and kind of sets them all down in front of her and sits for some time.
And Min, we'll go to sleep.
All right, and as the evening closes in around all of you and you prepare for, well, as you slip off to sleep, the next day comes. And if you don't mind skipping this track for me. As the next morning comes, you wake up, each with plans to go your own ways, to pursue your own goals for a little bit of time. Who would like to go first?
Before we go, does the shop there at the Abbey have general supplies?
Well, the Abbey does not have a shop, although they do have a small closet of the Shadow of Light. Well, if you were to go back and speak with Zorn, she could probably help you find most things.
We're good. Just wants to pick up some general traveling supplies. Nothing magical, just standard items.
Well, in the words of Zorn, well, that's boring. That being said,
that keeps us alive, though.
If you needed just simple, mundane things, you could probably get those at a regular price. So, yes, you can take care of that.
Great, thanks.
Well, if nobody else wants to go first, I suppose Randy will.
All right, and Randy, as you eat your breakfast in expectation of a quick teleportation jump with Min back down south, you are joined at the table by Ari, who sits down and kind of jostles you a little bit as he sits down next to you and says, so, first of all, the unicorn... Apparently, she did a pretty good job. But nobody got caught last night, which is a wonder. Second of all, and perhaps more importantly, I got my days off. Can you believe it? I've got 4 days. 4 days.
Ari, when was the last time you took a vacation?
Well, I mean, we did some field training down close to the Verdant Sea about 3 months ago, and I mean, that's sort of like vacation.
Randy rolls his eyes and just gives a just exasperated groan. Ari! All right. Yeah, I've got some things to take care of in Trunel, but... we're going to have some fun for the next 4 days as well.
Well, we better. We better. And if we're making it back to Telesiril, then there's some definite places we got to stop.
I didn't even think of that. That's a good point.
And then Ari immediately starts to backpedal. He's like, but I mean... This place, Trunel is probably really great. We could definitely just If that's what you wanted to do, was just, you know, spend the whole time there. I don't want to be a third wheel.
Well, no, I think I got. But, you know what? I think I've got a plan. You know what? Just trust me on this, okay? I think I've got an idea. Out of character, how far of a journey would Till the Cyril be from Trunau?
Well, if you're taking the roads, it's a pretty good trip. Probably in the market of a couple weeks. But you don't necessarily have to take roads.
Yeah. But I don't want Min to have to be with us the whole time.
Oh, she's definitely not. But she will be checking in using scrying.
How often would Min be able to use teleportation?
A couple times a day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Knowing that, Randy will, start making the preparations, start packing his bag. He doesn't have a lot of stuff, just kind of general preparation. I mean, we're going to a civilized place, so, like, food won't really be a problem or anything like that. And he and Ari will meet up with Min.
All right. So, travel. Probably be popping there and back here, and then to make sure that everyone gets where they need to go before I head off to where I need to go. I can only take so many people. Two per trip. Two extra people per trip.
Min, I think our plan, my plan anyway, because Ari's only got a limited amount of days. Would you be able to maybe pop in after about 2 days in Trunau to maybe give us a quick trip to Till the Cyril?
I should be able to do that, yes.
I would really appreciate it.
Sure. You'll just have to make sure that we'll have to set a place for you to meet me. I'll probably be slightly pressed for time, but considering that it takes less than a minute to get from point A to point B, sure.
Probably just the lobby of the inn.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. I think we're ready. What do you think, Ari?
Yeah, I mean, I travel pretty light. The other thing is, too, if it's too much trouble for traveling, I can see if there's anybody we can piggyback from the shadow.
Oh, really? You know,
I mean, just between you and me, the shadow of light gets around, and there's ways to piggyback with those that are moving in different areas. I just have to find somebody that was in the area and see if they could give us a ride.
Do you know of any operatives in Trunau?
Well, I don't technically know where Trunau is exactly, but once we're there, I could check in the area. If there's anyone around, I'll probably touch base with them while we're there.
It'd probably be good to just keep in touch with everybody there anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, hey, if this is like, maybe I could spin this as going out to check on field operatives, and then maybe I could get more time.
You know what? I trust you completely, Ari. you were always the details guy.
Yeah, not sure they're gonna go for that, but we'll give it a try.
Yeah, why not? All right, I think we're ready, Min. I guess we're Randy's kind of scratches his head. He's nervous. I guess we're ready to go back to Trunau.
All right. And Min places a hand on each of the individual shoulders and says, good luck. And they vanish. And she will drop you off.
All right, and suddenly, you're back in Chernow. It feels almost alien and strange to be back in this place. Standing in the square, you can see the gates of the city. You can see the city wall, somewhat low compared to that of Nethys Giral. You can see the place where there's obviously been new construction, repairs from the orc attack. But your eyes come back to the building you're standing right in front of. The squat, somewhat broad inn and tavern called the Ramble House. Built largely for those of the smaller sizes, but modified to make it at least somewhat comfortable for the big folk as well. And even now you can hear the sound. Of course, it's still morning, but you can hear the sound of some merriment inside.
Well, Ari, I guess we just, I guess I just go through the inn, huh? Just like, just in there? I mean, that's where she is. That's...
Well, I mean, I'm not telling you how to do your job. I'm obviously not as proficient as you, as, you know, you're the one with the girlfriend. But if she's inside and you're outside, it seems to me like there's a door in your way.
That's a very good idea, Mako. Randy looks around and see if there's like any kind of flowers or anything like that. Maybe like a florist or something. Or like... He's...
Alright, you look around. Go ahead and do a perception check.
Yeah. That's a good perception check. All right, let's see here. That's a 27.
Uh, 27 is good. You look around, you can see the hydrangeas, the growing in the beds in front of the inn. Probably not a good idea to pick her own flowers to give her, though.
Yeah.
But you look, and just across the way, you can see what appears to be a cart that is full of various wildflowers. And they seem to be relatively fresh picked, and there's maybe a mom and a couple of daughters that are actively kind of putting them into baskets and sorting them out and preparing to go and try to sell them.
Randy will tap Ari on the... I'm assuming Ari's what, like maybe like almost... I always thought of Ari as like 5'9".
Ari is, he's not super tall. He's not an elf that's super tall because he's half elf. Yeah, 5'9", mm-hmm. That's probably about right. Sure.
So yeah, Randy will tap the knee of Ari, say, hey, real quick, I'm going to go get some flowers. I think that's a good idea, right?
Sure, that's... great idea, champ. Hey, you want me to go inside and, you know, scope the place out?
That's actually not a bad idea either.
And,
like, you won't, like, stick, you don't, you're not worried about, like, sticking out or anything, are you?
No, I don't stick out. Nobody here has ever seen me before. Look, and he casts a message on the two of you. He says, nobody will even know that we're together. And he then turns around and boldly just walks in through the door.
Randy takes a breath. Okay. And he'll head over to the family selling the flowers.
All right. And as you're walking over, you start to get this mental feed of Ari's voice as he's talking to you. He's like, wow, this place is really nice. I mean, it's kind of small, but I can see how it would appeal to you.
Yeah, she keeps it like she keeps a great inn. She runs this place herself, actually.
There is actually a lot of people in here right now. The breakfast must be something special.
Yeah, you gotta try it. You gotta try it.
Either that or nobody has a job in this place. Is this town unemployed?
No, I think it's pretty good. I think they do pretty well. I kind of gave them a little bit of a boost when I was here as well. So I think maybe that helped things. But that was a while ago.
Well, hold on. I think someone's coming over. And he orders, and then he says, hey, I think that might have been your girl. Halfling, right?
Yeah.
Man, she's pretty good looking. I might ask her out.
I'm going to assassinate you. Stop it, Ari.
You know, she's a little small for me.
All right, I'm going to go get these flowers.
And as you get over there, the lady sees you coming. One of her daughters goes up to you and, you know, about eye to eye with you because you're a halfling, but she's just, you know, probably 10 or so, and says, come on in, sir. Would you like to buy some flowers?
Yes, I would. Can I get a dozen of your most quality flowers? And he actually will. Randy's always been generous with his money. And he hands a little girl a gold piece.
And her eyes go big as gold pieces as she looks at it. And she's like, Mommy, he gave me a gold piece. To which the mother answered, what? Good morning, sir. What can we get for you? Do you want all of them?
Oh, no. I'm sure you have plenty of customers and everything. I just need a dozen of like the ones that you consider your best.
Well, for that much. And you mean to give us this much?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Then you can have 2 dozen. And she begins putting together, and she just starts going crazy, just like grabbing different flowers of different colors and from different places and arranging them, and creates this huge bouquet of flowers. And, you know, wraps it, ties it off, and presents it to you. Thank you so much for your business.
Thank you. These are beautiful. And Randy is not going to enter through the front door. He is going to remember. He's going to remember that there is a back entrance to the Ramble House.
Indeed.
And he is going to enter through there.
All right, you make your way back around to the back. So many memories come back to you. You see the stable, severely damaged from the fire, but still standing, and it appears to be in use for what's left of it, although that probably should be dealt with.
Randy takes note.
You find the back door. Your eye drifts up to the window that you guys entered to find Quill's burned marks left in the floor. So many memories in this place. The dwarf, commando team, all of that. But you pass in through the door and you can hear the muted sounds of the dining room. And as you get closer, the sounds get a little louder until you push out through the doorway from the back hall and you are on the first landing of the stairs. And you can see to your left where the stairs go up to the upstairs, where the bedrooms are at. But ahead of you, just two or three steps down, is the main floor of the dining room. You look around at first, you don't see Ari in the room. You do see, however, there's probably about 20 people that are in here gathered in a couple of groups now. They do look to be workmen of different types. There's one group of farmers, although their table looks like from the dishes that there were a lot more there earlier, and they're probably the last ones kind of straggling out, and they're just kind of hurriedly finishing up their food before they also head out for the day. The other group seems to be more craftsmen and professional people from town that aren't necessarily going so far, and they're enjoying a little bit more leisure in their breakfast. But as you look over all of this, you catch sight of a familiar, endearing form as Cham Laringfus pushes out through the door from the kitchen, out around the bar, quickly sparing a moment to push some stray hairs back up over her ear and try to get them to stick back in place as she grabs up a towel and begins going to the tables and offering refills and says,
"Can I get anything else for you?" "All right, well, if that will be it, then have a good day. Thank you for coming in."
And the farmers continue on their way and say, "Right, thanks for the meal, Cham. It's always a good meal at the Ramble House." And they make their way out. And then she goes over to a corner and you catch sight of Ari, who's over there sitting in the seat. She goes up to him and says,
"Have you decided what you want to order?"
"All right, I can get that for you." And she begins taking his order down. Her back is turned towards you.
Mm-hmm. Randy is going to wait, and I'm assuming in the kitchen area right now? I'm not sure.
You would be close to the kitchen. The kitchen, since you came out from the back hall, you are on that first landing of the stairs. So if you step down off of that, that would put you in the dining room, and the bar is kind of immediately to your right, and the kitchen is behind the bar.
Randy, in the name of consistency, will attempt to sneak his way into the kitchen.
Okay, you slip into the kitchen. Go ahead and make a stealth check.
Yep. Stealth. That is a 40 to stealth.
Are you invisible?
I am not.
Well, I just rolled 2 natural ones and a natural 3 for the group of guys that are finishing their meal. Nobody noticed you come in. Nobody was paying attention. And Cham certainly has her hands full in the dining room. And you make it into the kitchen. As you press into the kitchen, you get behind the door. You can smell the food. It's amazing. There's a hot stove top. There's a singing kettle. There's what looks to be some kind of a porridge that is staying hot over the fire, as well as some kind of a pudding full of all sorts of savory smells. And then you can also see fresh bread that's been, several loaves are cut down to just the ends, but you can see she's got probably 3 more loaves that are set out ready to be cut to add to different dishes as they go out. Just the whole place is set up to be operated like a machine. And as you look over all of that space, there is the quiet thunk as the door pushes open. Were you attempting to hide yourself from the door?
No, Randy is standing in the middle of the kitchen. He would have attempted to pull his hood off, and adjust his the hood hair, whatever, be as presentable as possible. And he will be standing there, bouquet of flowers in hand.
All right, and are you face towards the door, just like waiting for her to come in?
Yeah.
All right, so you come in, or she pushes in, and she's actually looking down at first when she comes in, and moves over, pushes the tray full of dishes off onto the countertop that's next to the stone sink basin, and then turns back like she's headed towards the stove, and that's when she realizes, one, there's somebody in her kitchen, to which she jumps back, and her hand reaches out for the cutting knife next to the bread before she pauses. And then her eyes go wide and her hand clasps over her mouth. And she says,
Randy, is that you? Lewinna, save me. Is that really you?
Hey, Jam. Really good to see you again.
And she comes over and gives you a big hug. And just holds it.
Randy kind of like is shocked, takes a step back, and then he embraces her as well.
And she holds it for a little while before finally pushing back to
you. I should be mad at you, going off like that. You didn't even come back.
Did you get my letters?
Of course I got your letters. They were very nice.
But
that's still no excuse for not coming back.
Yeah, she looks like there's a little bit of humor in her eye.
Yeah, it kind of took me a while. It took me a little longer than I thought to get where we were going. I don't really have the best sense of direction. It's a good thing I have good friends.
Yeah, well, your friends have kept you away for a long time. But I'm glad you come to your senses and come back.
These are for you.
All of those? For me?
Yeah.
You are a flirt. You always have been. My mother warned me about men like you.
But she takes the flowers and takes them over to the side and finds a bowl that she can put them in, kind of a pitcher, and fills it with water.
Have you eaten anything?
Yeah, we, me and my friends had breakfast this morning. We didn't really use traditional methods to get here. I gotta say, Min, like, she did a great job of, like, teleporting us here. Sham, I've missed you.
And fixing the flower, she turns back to look at Randy.
Well, I'm glad that you're back. I've missed you, too. I've worried a lot about you. And after you left and Bertel passing and all, I was worried I was going to lose you, too.
Well, I can't stay for too long, but, I'm actually planning on being here for a little while anyway. We've got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, you're not wrong about that.
And she comes over and reaches out and kind of clasps her hands on your shoulders and takes a look at you and feels your arms and lets her hands drag down till she goes to take yours in her hands and says,
we've got a lot of catching. Lewinna, save us. What happened to your hand?
Oh, yeah, like I said, a lot of catching up to do.
Was this in battle? You lost a finger. Randy, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no,
you
it's...
Have to, You have to tell me everything. I mean, unless it's too painful for you.
I mean, it hurt at first. Too painful. Yeah, it's kind of a funny story. I'll let you know how that...
A funny story. You lost your finger in some kind of battle or some torture, and it's a funny story.
Man,
you're plain daft.
It was kind of getting in the way of my hidden blade, so I had it removed.
To which she just stops.
She said, Randall, are you telling me that you had your own finger removed?
That's what I said. Like I said, it was kind of like it. Honestly, I probably would have lost it anyway. That hidden blade was kind of hitting it sometimes when it came out.
You're mad.
I mean, I've been told as such.
I don't even know what to say.
It
would have been better if it had been something horrible. This is what happens when you go away from society and away from everything that's good for you.
Randy knows just to kind of let her lecture him, and with kind of a sheepish grin on his face.
Now you just go on out there and have a seat, and I'll bring you something to eat.
Oh, also, I've got somebody I want you to meet, too.
Is it the one that took your finger off? Because I'd sure like to say something to him. You just let me see that one. I'll take his fingers off, all of them.
Well, I mean, they're more like paws, but like, no, it's not him. I you remember me talking about my best friend Ari?
Right, I remember that. You wrote a bit about him too.
I kind of brought him along.
So what now? You brought him here.
You know the elf? You noticed that there was an elf, kind of pretty well dressed in your out in the dining area.
Wait, you mean that tall chap who just come in, the outsider? I wondered why he was giving me such weird looks. Thought he was fresh.
I mean, he can be, but he's actually a pretty good guy. He's actually a man of the cloth. Yeah, that's him.
Well, then go out and have a seat with your friend, and when I get your meals ready, I'll bring them out, and you can introduce us proper.
Randy kind of nods, and he goes out to the kitchen, and if Ari is facing him, he kind of gives him a funny look, like, okay.
Oh, Ari was not just watching the kitchen. You could hear in your mind, even as she was talking to you, Ari was like cutting in and saying stuff. He's like, hey, so what's going on now? I saw her go in there. Are you still alive? Speak to me, brother. Speak to me. Where are you at? I don't know resurrection. I just figure I should tell you that. It's a little bit above my pay grade. And just on and on, just jabs over and over. He's loving it. And as he sees you come out, he speaks into your mind again. He's like, well, at least you're alive. But you know, you could have said something.
Ari, hush. And he makes his way over to Ari's table.
All right. And you sit, and Ari gives some more jabs, because best friends never stop jabbing.
No, of course not. Especially not when it comes to girls.
But when Cham comes out, introductions are made, and Ari is polite and is sincerely happy for both of you. And seems to agree with Cham when she explained, "Did you know he had his finger cut off? Said it was for his hidden blade or some silly thing like that. Did you cut your finger off? No, I didn't think so, because nobody does that. That's pure plum craziness." And he's like, "Well, I agree with that. I mean, that's totally crazy. Only a very crazy person would do that, right?" And they just go off. But
Yeah, Randy is just like laughing and kind of sheepishly grinning the whole time. He is enjoying the moment where his best friend and the love of his life finally are all together in one place.
And as the camera pans back out and leaves the Ramble House behind, the both of you do not have any choice in where you will be staying for the time that you're there. For as long as you're in Trunau, the Ramble House will be your home, and the meals will be provided, as no one else could give you proper food. And you're set to have a very enjoyable remainder of your time in Trunau. And as to what else, we can either return to deal with some more of Randy's time, but I think at this point we will draw back and we will actually close out tonight. Because it's 15 after midnight here.
Yep.
So we'll come back next time with some more of the what comes next for Avalon's Finest in this time of reprieve before they gather back together to see what remains to be seen in this great world. Good game, everybody.
Oh, man.
All right.
Great. That was awesome.
All the RP.
Yes. So much RP. Love it.
Probably most of the next 2 months is going to be RP heavy.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love that stuff.